Carol's in South Taranaki now to meet a city slicker turned dairy farmer. It's fair to say Trish Rankin's embraced farming. She's this year's Fonterra Dairy Woman of the Year.
When I first started farming with Glenn, I was a teacher and I'd rear the occasional calf or maybe do some GST if I had to. And now there's not a lot I don't know. I don't like winding up fences and I try and avoid that, but pretty much everything else I've learnt to do in the last 10 years.
As a teenager, could you imagine living a life on the land like this?
No, absolutely not. No, I'm scared of spiders, you know. Like my parents just think it was hilarious that I'd go on a farm, and I remember getting the ute stuck in a wet paddock one day, and I went up to the shed. Dad was there, went up to the shed, picked up the tractor, went down and towed myself out, and Dad was just shaking his head like, can't believe that's my daughter who didn't even want to learn how to change a tyre in a car.
So you've had a pretty good couple of years, haven't you, being nominated for and winning the Fonterra Dairy Woman of the Year title, and you're also involved in lots of other things?
Yeah, I am, and it's all about following the things that you're most interested in. So obviously it started off doing things with my kids and for my career at school, so going on the boards of trustees or, you know, coaching soccer and umpiring cricket and all those things that you do. And then as we got sort of more involved in farming, I found a whole pile of fields in there that I was really interested in as well. So joining the Dairy Women's Network and helping them design a module using my education background, all the way through to doing some stuff with Dairy NZ, doing a little bit of work now with Ag Recovery. So there's just so many bits and pieces that you can find to interest you, depending on where your passions sit. And obviously for me, it's around the environment, it's around waste, it's around being a good employer, and there's just so many opportunities that if you just put your hand up and say to somebody, hey, I'm keen to get involved, someone will snap you up. And that's how I've been just so lucky to have Dairy Women's Network and Dairy NZ and winning that award, not through setting out to do it, but just by default of being really, really happy and passionate and keen to help the sector.
You said that you've got a particular interest in the environment and sustainability. Now, there are a lot of Taranaki farmers at the moment who are feeling really put upon. They're really, really worried about the future, what they may or may not be required to do, and they feel, I think, that they've already done a whole lot to protect the environment. Do you also get that sense of panic from farmers?
Oh, 100%.
What would you say to them?
You know, calm the farm is kind of our approach. You know, there's so much coming. So let's look at what you can control. I had a meeting in the last few weeks with a group of dairy environment leaders here in Taranaki, and we were like, okay, so there are things we can't control, and that is some of the policy that hasn't been released yet from government, like the freshwater policy is still under consultation. What can we control? So we went through a list of things, even things like being organised and ready for your dairy shed inspection and making sure that you've got all your paperwork up to date. What our theory is if we can get on top of all of those things that are sitting in your office in the to-do pile and get on top of them now, when the policies and the new regulations get released, it's not going to be something else to add into your to-do pile because you've already kind of tried to knock off most of the other stuff. The submissions that were received are obviously being reviewed now.
This is for the water?
For the freshwater policy, yep. Mm-hmm. And we certainly hope that there's some adjustments and some regionalisation of some of those policies because you're dead right. The riparian planting and some of the work that's been done here and a lot of the farmers that have been part of that have already done a whole heap of fencing and planting. And then to hear things like, oh yeah, we're actually going to make fences have to be 5 metres and they just have to be grass verges, just seems ridiculous when you might have a fence that's at 2 metres from a waterway and beautifully planted out, which would surely be stopping more leaching than just plain old grass. And the government have suggested that they'd just be happy with grass. So, you know, that's a kick in the guts for farmers who have planted thousands and thousands and thousands of trees. So it's about standing up, I think, too, for what we've already done. I know our regional councils did a submission, Dairy NZ did a submission on Taranaki's behalf. So there's been a lot of feedback to the government around how some of their stuff's just unrealistic.
What else is special about Taranaki? Because I know that you've got really fast-flowing waterways here.
Yeah, we have. Like, the mountain can take a whole pile of rain in a 24-hour period, and it can be out in the ocean within a few hours, depending on the volume obviously received. So it's not like a lot of water sits stagnant around the place. Everything's on a slope, and everything drains down from the mountain out to the ocean pretty quickly. We don't have stagnant rivers that meander through and take forever to find the outsource. Our water comes in and goes out, and that's an advantage to us, especially with our beautiful riparian planting, preventing so much of the leachates entering the waterway anyway. I certainly certainly hope that the government realises that they need to regionalise some of this legislation, because you can't have one blanket rule for the whole of New Zealand.
You've also got high phosphorus levels in Taranaki.
Yeah, before it even reaches the first farm. It's just coming out of the mountain, coming out of the volcanic soils with the bird fowl. We've got high phosphorus before it even hits a farm. So that's unfair on farmers who are through those areas of high phosphorus to be told that it's farming practice that causes it before it even gets to the farm. It's already high. So there's definitely opportunity for the government to do better testing and better regulation, especially around that topic.
Another one of your interests is things that you can do on the farm to recycle, reduce your use of plastic.
Yeah, so it's certainly an area I thought that was going to be coming at us reasonably fast, was having to be very aware of farm plastics and the rubbish that we create. Nobody wants to fill up a skippy bin and have to take that to landfill, so I've been looking at ways to reduce that. Even little things that have been helping. We use a spray contractor, so we don't actually have to buy 200 litre drums of chemical sprays, store them in our facility and hopefully use it all up before it expires, and if it doesn't, you know, have to get rid of it. You know, if we use a spray contractor, he can obviously just use to the precise millilitre how much we need. And so we don't have to store the chemicals, we don't have to deal with them, and when he comes in, he uses what he needs and there's no wastage. So that's been one thing for us about finding the efficient ways of using products. We've just got a set to trial on plastic rubberware. Now, rubberware is a thing we use in the shed to put the cups on the cows. It's the product that goes on the cow teats, and that ends up just in landfill because you're unable to recycle that currently in New Zealand. So a New Zealand company based over in the Hawke's Bay has invented a plastic polymer version of that, which is 100% recyclable. So you use it for twice as many milkings. You can use it for 5,000 milkings as opposed to 2,500 for rubberware. And then you can send it back to them and they'll melt it down and they'll make a certain proportion of it back into the same product again. And then the rest of it becomes slightly lower grade, but it gets made into plastic matting. And that's just the start of this innovation and creation. So you can certainly see how a lot of companies now are looking to see what can they do for us. And farmers need to make really good purchasing decisions. So even when you're at your local dairy supply store or farm supply store, look for those ones that have got the Ag Recovery logo on them, because then you know that they can be recycled. I think the more farmers start to recycle or even push back to manufacturers, hey, I don't want that product because it's just creating rubbish, then the manufacturers are going to need to change what they're doing too.
Have you gone about it? Have you just looked around your farm and thought, okay, what's something else I can do instead of?
Yeah, pretty much. Just applying that process of thinking. So things like, what can we reuse? What can we repair? What can we reduce the use of? What can we refuse to use? You know, once you start telling people you want to change, then you'll find, you know, we've sort of found the people who provide our service, even our local vets, when they dropped off something, we can come back and pick up this rubbish and take it to recycling for you. Thank you very much. That'd be great.
Is it easy enough to do?
Oh, it's 100% easy, but it takes time, not money. So I can get my skippy bin emptied for $164. I can chuck it in there and get it emptied. If I want to recycle, I drive 20 minutes to Farmlands for my farm recycling. I drive 5 minutes to Manaia for all the other glass, paper, cardboard recycling. So it takes my time.
And time's something you're a bit short of, because you're teaching as well?
Yeah, so I do. I'm really lucky that Open Aki Primary work around the days that I can do for them. So at the start of every term, I just give them a list of all the dates that I'm available. They generally take them all. And this week I did 2 days, last week I did 3. And I'm doing a whole pile of study as well. So I try and keep things, you know, Thursday tends to be stay at home, do housework, do my study, kind of a day where I don't try and sign up for too much. Friday's farm day, because our worker has Fridays and Saturdays off. She's on a 5 and 2. So Fridays and Saturdays I milk. And Sunday's family day, where we go down to Open Aki Surf Lifesaving and have a really great time down there and do junior surf. And the kids' sports keep you busy every night of the week.
Because you've got 4 children.
Yeah, 4 boys. You're super lucky to be in Taranaki, though. Like, nothing's more than about 20 minutes away. Whether it's rugby practice at Kāponga or surf lifesaving at Open Aki. It's just everything's so close.
Because you were in Northland.
Yeah, we moved up to Northland just so we could get into herd owning shemilking. It was really difficult. We were in the Hawke's Bay Wairarapa area, and it was very hard in those days. It was only 4 years ago, but really hard to get a 50-50 job. So we just said, right, we'll go wherever we can get one. And it happened to be in the back blocks of the North Hokianga, where there was 3 dairy farms sort of in a 100k radius. So it didn't get much difficult than that. But the beauty of it was at the $3.90 payout, we paid cull price for our cows. So we paid sort of $600 or $700 to get into shemilking, as opposed to where down here you'd still be paying $1,800 a cow. You know, we could get into shemilking for a third of the cost of what you'd usually pay for 300 cows. Yeah, it was pretty good for us. We got some really good habits about spending and didn't buy anything that wasn't necessary and fixed everything ourselves, because where we lived, we were 2 hours away from the nearest dairy shed technician. If something broke down, you fixed it. So, you know, it was hard, and we certainly lived off the smell of an oily rag, but that set us up for having really good business ethos to then take this position down here.
Have you still got some of those cows?
Well, we brought them all down from Northland to here, and you can't see them today, but they got off the truck after having lived on hills in the Hokianga on clay country with kaikuia, a grass species, which is a really nightmare to manage, to the flat green ryegrass of Taranaki. You could see the cows smile. When they got off the truck, they were like, oh my God, where are we? And we've still got so many of those cows now because they learnt how to eat the hard way. They learnt to eat on hills and learnt to eat tough, sour-tasting grass, probably. I don't know what kaikuia tastes like, but it always looked a bit stringy. And now they're here. And, you know, they've doubled their milk production, and they just smile all the way to the milking shed, really.
Trish Rankin. She's also on the National Executive of the New Zealand Dairy Awards, is a Kellogg Rural leader, and last year was selected as a Climate Change Ambassador as part of the Dairy Action for Climate Change.